Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. The overnight interbank lending rate is now 3.3%. It was effectively 0% 6 months ago. According to the Fed's current plans, it is heading above 4% by the end of this year, and perhaps all the way to 4.5% to 5% by early 2023. Is that going to cause a problem, you ask? Well, rising rates has already caused stocks, bonds, gold, crypto, and just about everything else to plunge. Even the commodity sector, which worked well in the first half of this year, has fallen sharply. Indeed, nothing has worked on the long side except cash and the US dollar. Sadly, for most, the carnage isn't over yet, and the pace of the decline is only going to intensify. Here's why that should be the case. The previous cycle high watermark for the Fed funds rate was 2.5%. It occurred back in December of 2018. Powell and company are now threatening to nearly double the same borrowing rate that broke the economy 4 years ago. Likewise, the cyclical high for the benchmark U.S. Treasury yield was 3.22% in November of 2018, just around the same time the Fed funds rate peaked. It stands at 3.8% as of this writing of this podcast. A 2.5% Fed funds rate and a 3.22% 10-year note were the rates that proved to be just too great for the economy and markets to bear in 2018. The debt burden back then was just too onerous to withstand those higher borrowing costs. In addition, asset prices were so overextended that the competition offered from fixed income caused investors to dump riskier stocks and flee to the relative safety of government bonds. As a matter of fact, the level of borrowing costs it took to break the economy has been reduced over time, just as the level of economic fragility has increased. It took a Fed funds rate of 6.5% to break the NASDAQ bubble in 2000. It was a slightly lower Fed funds rate of 5.25% that ended up collapsing the housing bubble of 2006. In 2018, the Fed funds rate was inched up to just 2.5% over the course of 3 years, but that was all it took for the economy and markets to falter. The facts show that the economic conditions extent in 2018 placed it in a much better position to handle rising borrowing costs than what we see today. What is completely ridiculous is that the Fed has the temerity to bloviate about a soft landing for the economy during this current cycle of monetary tightening, even though the economic scenario is much worse than it was 4 years ago. Yes, much worse. And of course, Wall Street is promulgating the Fed's soft landing myth with alacrity. Let's take a closer look at the debt burdens, asset price levels, and GDP growth in 2018 and compare the data to the situation today. GDP growth back in 2018 displayed a rather healthy reading of 2.9% for the full year. Economic growth so far in 2022 has come in at a seasonally adjusted annual rate of -1.6% for Q1, -0.6% for Q2, and the consensus estimates for Q3 are below 1%. In essence, the economy is much weaker today than it was in 2018. Despite the carnage we have witnessed so far this year in the equity market, 20% down in the S&P, 30% plus in the NASDAQ, the valuation of stocks compared to the underlying economy is still greater today than it was 4 years ago. The total market cap of GDP was 123% at the end of 2018. Today it stands at 150%. We often hear that the American consumer and corporations are in much better shape due to the amount of deleveraging that has taken place. But that's not true. And hence, they claim it is simply a much better environment for the economy to tolerate those rising interest rates that have spiked from zero to over 3% in a little over a half a year. However, total U.S. debt to GDP was 775% in 2018. In 2022, it has soared to 810% and is extremely high relative to historical levels. But it's just not sovereign debt that has exploded higher. Household debt was $15.6 trillion, $15.6 trillion at the end of 2018. It has jumped by over $3 trillion since then. Now, while it's true that household debt as a percentage of GDP is off its high set in the Great Recession of 2008, this ratio is still slightly higher than it was in 2018. And it is far greater than it was prior to the Fed's massive interest rate suppression regime beginning in the year 2000. The corporate debt to GDP ratio is higher than at any other time in history prior to the COVID pandemic. Non-financial corporate business debt to GDP was 45% in 2018. As of Q2 2022, this ratio stands at over 50%. For historical reference, this ratio topped out at 45% at the peak of the Nasdaq bubble and also at the real estate bubble of 2008. So it's higher than it was at the other two previous market peaks and much higher historically speaking. There's just no evidence at all, either on the public or private sector, that the economy has deleveraged. Indeed, the nominal levels of debt have skyrocketed. Most importantly, this debt is extremely high, even when measured as a percentage of this phony QE zirp-induced economy. Hence, there is no reason to believe that either the public or private sectors will be able to withstand the onslaught of spiking borrowing costs that are happening now. The only other time in history the Fed was raising the Fed funds rate and in the act of QT was in 2018. The market went into freefall until Powell promised to stop raising interest rates. Today, we find that the Fed funds rate is not only 50 basis points higher than in 2018, but Powell has pledged to take it north of 4% over the course of the next few months. In addition, the benchmark 10-year note yield is about 50 basis points greater than the cycle high of 4 years back. The other significant difference between 2018 and 2022 is inflation. It's simply much easier for the Fed to come to the rescue of asset prices and the economy when inflation was below 2%. It was only 1.9% at the end of 2018. However, when the CPI is near a 40-year high, such a pivot becomes untenable. These much higher interest rates offered by U.S. Treasuries are providing a great alternative for stocks, just as those higher borrowing costs are also destroying margins and revenues for corporations. Sharply declining consumer demand from a faltering economy is adding to the pressure. Throw in a skyrocketing U.S. dollar, and we know corporate earnings are not only going to fall well short of the 8% growth forecasted by Wall Street for 2023, but will instead end up crashing. Up until recently, the economic data has been mostly unalarming, with the exception of GDP, which Wall Street claims is only a temporary quirk in the data. Just ask any permabull and they will tell you that the job market, consumers, and corporate earnings are still very strong and can withstand this hawkish Fed. Nevertheless, the truth is the economy and markets have never been more fragile. Therefore, the economic and earnings recession should be extremely acute. The S&P 500 lost 350 points in the 8 trading days before I sold one of our short market ETFs. But when the market falls 8.5% in a little over 1 week and the short positions are already way up, it is always wise to book some profits. More importantly, the holdings in one of our short market ETFs that we sold are down 50% plus. Therefore, the carnage there has mostly already occurred. In contrast, the bloodbath in large cap stocks is still in the early innings. That is why we are now shorting the S&P 500 to profit from the demise in the stalwarts of the market, think Apple, where all the buy and hold bag holders are hiding. Wall Street calls this strategy, well, we're hiding out into quality now. We're just going to quality. Doesn't that sound great? It sounds so comforting. Well, we were invested in crap and we lost all your money, but now we're selling that maybe and going into quality. The truth is they do this because they can't do the correct thing, which is raise cash and short the market. Pent-up portfolio strategies will tactically move in and out of short positions to take advantage of the recession and meltdown that is still to come. The final and more substantial portion of this bear market should bring significant panic selling out of equities and into the relative safety of U.S. sovereign debt, as it always has done in the past, until the Fed can once again reinflate the bubbles that will get rid of that insolvent position known as U.S. Treasuries. The whole sovereign complex across the world is insolvent. I get that. But when the world is in trouble, they always flee to the treasury market, and they will once again do that once the recession data becomes promulgated and fully manifest. That's coming in the fourth quarter. Now, saving our clients from this 20 to 30% collapse in the major averages has been satisfying. It has. But it isn't satisfying enough for me. I will not be happy. I don't accept, the Wall Street has you down 25%, but I'm down, 15. That's not good enough. I'm only down 2 before fees. But I will not be happy until we profit from phase 2 of this grand reconciliation of asset prices that is right ahead of us. Recessions are where all 4 horsemen of the economic apocalypse work well. Not just cash working, of course, it always works well. U.S. dollar working great. Shorts working great. But treasuries do their part as well. Meaning, we won't just be avoiding the carnage any longer, but potentially be making money as everybody else is getting really, really wiped out. Then we can use our cash hoard to appropriately allocate the portfolio in the correct asset classes and sectors and style factors at a fair and safe price. Think about owning some great blue chip dividend payers at a fair price after the carnage collapses. That would be sectors 3 and 4 of my model, which I think we might be headed after the carnage is over. And only after this massive Wall Street bubble crumbles to the ground. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.